This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The stock market flies higher with the tax overhaul and holiday shopping both going its way. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Let's go right to financial markets, where 22 minutes into the trading day, the Dow is up 193 points. That is 0.8%. The S&P 500 up 16.6%, a similar percentage rise, 0.6%, on a rise of 41 points for the NASDAQ Composite Index. Bonds are down with the key interest rate up 2.37% on the 10-year yield. Let's go to economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So can we draw a line between higher share prices and the passage of the tax bill, which we are assured is now going to happen this week?
Sure. I mean, when something becomes a certainty, then yes, you're going to have an added effect and boost from that. But it's not just that. I think the global data continue to hum along, and the reports from the retailers on the holiday shopping are pretty good so far.
So you're putting the tax bill passage at a certainty, 100%? You won't even go with 97 or 98%?
Look, I'm an economist. We never say 100%, but I'll say 99%.
We're in the middle of getting the last minute presents, and this is shaping up, I think, to be a pretty strong year for retail.
Yeah, we're seeing a much broader base of strength from the U.S. consumer, according to the report, and that some of the adjustments that the retail sector has been going through have played out, so there's not as much distress. So in general, it's a pretty cheery set of reports coming out of the sector.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you.
My pleasure.
She's on the train bound for a conference in D.C. on unconventional Federal Reserve policy. How did that quantitative easing go when all was said and done? Now, as we say, the tax bill should be law of the land this week, and in the coming weeks, individuals will get a better handle on whether they win or lose under the plan. There will be many in each category, and don't think the changes aren't relevant till you prep your 2018 taxes in early 2019. Here's Marketplace's Erica Barris.
This is already the second busiest time of the year for tax preparers. Some clients will be shifting money around right up to New Year's Eve. Others need their 2018 plans quickly. And everyone wants answers, says accountant Edward Arcara.
They want to know whether they're going to be paying more tax or less. And I have to explain to them is that nothing is carved in stone yet.
Even so, Arcara still has to make estimates. And tax software isn't updated yet, so it's paper and pen and extra hours.
I'm doing kind of double duty as trying to get people to the correct fourth quarter tax estimate and also kind of give them an idea of what their 2018 might look like.
Carlos Lopez, a tax preparer in Salinas, California, says with all the changes to deductions, brackets, and credits, filing your taxes,
it's going to get more complicated and it's just going to mean more business for us.
He's been telling clients to stick to what they owe for now. And when next year comes, they'll figure everything out. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
As the year draws to a close, we've been spending some time on crucial but underreported business and economic stories from around the world. Today, one from China. In recent weeks, officials in Beijing have been evicting tens of thousands of migrant workers. They were living in what some countries call slums, buildings Chinese officials have deemed to be too dangerous or not licensed for habitation. Left looking for shelter are some of the very people who have fueled China's massive growth over the last four decades, workers who've moved from the country to the city. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins us now from Shanghai. Morning, Jennifer.
Morning, David.
What is this eviction campaign about?
Well, the government says it's about safety. You see, back in November, there was a fire in a crammed apartment and 19 people died. Most of them were migrants from poor regions in China. So since then, police have been demolishing buildings that they say are fire hazards. But it's really the way that they're going about it that has migrants thinking that they are the real targets. You've seen images of migrants dragging their belongings out in the cold. Sometimes they weren't even given enough notice to take anything with them and they had to leave.
All right. So officials say it's about building code, substandard buildings. Some migrants think it's a campaign to drive them out to where? I mean, back to their original villages?
Well, that's the question. Beijing is so expensive that these rundown buildings are really the only thing that they can afford. So, yes, some of them have had to go back to their villages. Others are trying to think of a plan B. But what's the alternative? Some of them have been sleeping on streets.
And these mass evictions are rippling through the economy?
Well, yes, because who are the ones delivering packages for people, delivering the hot food on their electric bikes to busy office workers? These are all jobs taken by migrant workers. They're taking up the work that nobody else wants to do. And Zhao Wenzhen is one of them. She told us she's lived and worked in clothing factories in Beijing for 14 years. Suddenly, she has no home or job. She says she feels lost and doesn't think it would be possible to find work in the same industry that pays up to $900 a month. A lot of that salary is sent back to her family in northern Shanxi province. So if migrants like Zhao can't find better paying work, then her family back home won't be spending as much either.
All right. Who's helping with this?
Well, nonprofit organizations have offered to help with shelter and food. But there's also been widespread sympathy for the migrant workers, especially amongst the Chinese middle class, who themselves feel it's becoming harder to live well in the big cities, and they're struggling as well. So essentially right now, you have a class of people who have helped power China's economy, and now some of them feel that they are being denied the chance to pursue their dreams for a better life.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak speaking from Shanghai. Thank you.
Thank you.
And President Trump today is expected to accuse China of, quote, economic aggression. It reportedly will come as Trump unveils his administration's new national security policy. This is a sign that the administration remains frustrated by China's trade policies, despite the apparent bonhomie between President Trump and President Xi. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.